Can you tell me where we're standing?
Okay, so this is Jefferson Avenue between 16th and 12th Street right here. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's 14th Street right there. And it's in front of the construction site for Ridley, the new Ridley. Actually, this is the construction site for the school that's coming up, the early childhood school.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, I see a lot of construction there.
Yes.
There's like many, many large blocks of construction.
So originally on Ridley site, it was 256 homes. Okay. It's going to be replaced with 28 houses along Ivy Avenue. We're going to have a school here, which is really good because the school is providing a pipeline because we need early childhood educators, also teachers, period. So at night, Virginia Peninsula Community College is going to be in a school, and they're going to put people in a pipeline with Newport News Public Schools, so our Head Start, so they'll be able to become teachers in a Head Start after they finish their courses. So having stuff that's in a community, the connectivity piece is important because we are in a community where a lot of people don't have cars.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy because we got traffic jams everywhere, but these people don't live in our community.
It's like all the cars, but nobody lives here.
Exactly. Yeah. But we get all the emissions, gas emissions.
One second. I'm going to grab one more thing from my car. So what was here before the construction started?
It was 256 houses. It's called Ridley Circle. It was Ridley Circle, and it was a public housing site. It was actually an old military site, housing, and it was torn down because of the just awful state that it was in. When I would go door to door, it was literally children that were living in apartments that had mold that was taller than they were. And these are like 6 and 7 year olds. Mold is climbing up the wall and they're living there like it's okay. And I'm like, this isn't how you're supposed to be living. This isn't healthy living.
Yeah.
So when the Choice Neighborhood Initiative came along, it spoke to me because I'm like, we don't know a lot of stuff. Like, it's so many programs out here. It's opportunities. And I remember right here, because there was houses right here, there was a lady that lived right on the corner. Her credit score was 815.
Oh my God. I didn't even
know it goes that high.
I didn't either.
And she was paying full rent for Ridley Circle. But no one ever came to talk to her about home ownership or how to even just build some generational wealth for your family. I'm like, what? Her children lived in Ridley Circle. Her grandchildren, actually, her grandchild was the first one in the family to go to college. So it's beautiful, but, you know, it just shows for lack of knowledge our people perish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
So do you think we might, like, take a walk?
Sure.
We walk around?
Which way you want to walk?
So, this is your place.
Okay,
I'm following you.
So. And if you want to cross, are you taking pictures? You want to take pictures? If you look over here, we've actually done a groundbreaking for this. S23 Holdings is coming here. Mm-hmm. They promised about 300 jobs to the community, and they're a fabrication business that works in partnership with a shipyard. This is the meat of the Choice Neighborhood Initiative right here. If we were to walk down here on 12th Street where you see those bushes, that we're going to have a seafood market there, looking to bring in like a high-end seafood restaurant. And then also have the opportunity to have a commissary kitchen because we have a lot of people that have in-home catering services and they need a commissary kitchen to stop being a gypsy business and be a legitimate business.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Exactly. Makes so sense. We want to have the opportunity for them to be able to have the space and grow their businesses.
Totally.
So
I'm going to snap a photo right here real quick.
The great thing about this project is that we had the opportunity to really drive what our community looks like.
Can I get a photo of you?
Sure.
A second. Let me go like that. Yay!
I'd be so nervous taking pictures.
Oh my gosh, you look really beautiful.
Thank you.
I love your bright colors today.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You gotta brighten it up. Show them the sun a little bit.
Yeah, it's summer, right?
Exactly.
So you were saying, like, with the Choice Neighborhood Initiative, that you were able to have a lot of voice in the things that, the decisions that were made.
Absolutely.
What was that process like?
At first, it was really fun. At first, we had got the planning grant. Mm-hmm. So the planning grant was really showing that we deserve the implementation grant. Mm-hmm. There was so much community involvement. We had pop-ups where we were doing different activities with families outside, in really circle, and then also at other parts of the neighborhood. Because the Choice Neighborhood Initiative goes from the waterfront over to Marshall, over to the interstate, and then up to 36th Street.
Oh, it's like...
Yeah, so it goes where, like, Piggly Wiggly and everything is.
It's like most of the Southeast community.
No, not really. Because it's only over to Marshall.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's a little narrow strip.
Exactly.
That goes from north to south.
And it's the main strip that you can see.
That's true.
So the reason why we have, like, Piggly Wiggly, the Brooks Crossing, is because in order for us to qualify for this grant, we had to show that the city or the housing authority had to show that they actually invested in the community.
Okay.
So with those two developments and also the new renovations that they did at Marshall Courts apartments, they were able to use that to kind of leverage and say, hey, we were doing this, we need the grant.
Yeah.
So that's why everybody was engaged at first.
Mm-hmm.
We had pop-ups with the kids. Even if you look on 25th and Madison,
uh-huh,
there's artwork on the fence, and that was a part of the CNI grant. So at the beginning, it was really cool because it was so much engagement, it was so much involvement, people were excited. I was excited because I was the youngest person at the table, like, for real, at the beginning. And I was like, I didn't believe it. I stayed at the table because I was like, I don't believe that they're going to give you this money based off of what the community says. Like, but they proved me wrong, you know, which is a good thing. But just really driving that table has been beautiful and disastrous at sometimes.
Yeah.
We learn how to maneuver through government. See how our conversations are just us showing up as our true selves and speaking our truths at the table have really made the city pause on certain projects and think about how they're doing it. Hey, how you doing? So he has a nonprofit. We used to walk the streets at down across there, Overtown,
okay,
and just hand out soup and stuff to the community.
Yeah.
He'll pop up and do clothes and everything. And that's what I'm about. Like, we need love. We need more love. We can have all the programs and resources, but nobody is going to do anything or take advantage of them if they don't feel like it's for them,
yeah,
you know? So you have to come approach situations with love and love your neighbor.
Mm.
I know that's like a Bible verse or something. You gotta love your people.
Yeah.
To get them to want to take advantage of the home ownership and financial literacy. Because if I come to people and be like, yo, you need to take this budgeting class. Oh, look at me like I'm crazy. But if I say, baby, look, you know, you can have a little bit more money if you just tweak a little bit of things. And let me give you a tool to do that, a budgeting book. It changed people's lives.
Yeah.
You know, so just making sure that information is accessible to everyone.
For sure.
Now, you were talking about how was the process.
Yeah.
And it was very frustrating at first. And it wasn't because of the city or hood. It was because we have many elders that are very passionate, but maybe not educated on what's actually happening now. Our younger generation, they'll look at them and be like, oh, Lord, it just don't make no sense. The pants are hanging down and all this stuff. And I'm like, these children are very smart. Like, they can work a cell phone out of the womb almost, you know? Like, they're incredibly smart, but they need us, the ones that are elders, the ones that have wisdom, to have the patience to teach them and hold their hand. So what I have found is that I have really became a bridge in between those that are older than me and those that are younger than me, and then connected them with resources, opportunity, whatever it takes to just change the mindset, because that's what it is. We have to change the mindset of people to truly revitalize a community.
Yeah.
The, in the Choice Neighborhood Initiative, the piece that they have in there about people and making sure that the people are connected is so key, it's so important, because if that doesn't happen, then we have a lot of what we have now, where people aren't ready to come back. They haven't done any mental changes, personal changes, financial changes to be able to even afford a new community.
I mean, do you think
it's real busy through here?
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think? I mean, should we?
It's sad because I asked the city about 3 years ago to put up a bar just like what they have at Ocean View.
Yeah.
Across Willoughby Spit, that bar that they have to stop people.
Yeah.
Why can't we put it here? Why are we polluting our earth? We already have to combat the coal terminal.
Yeah.
Like, oh my goodness. I think I had told you the other day when it was really hot and the wind was going before that big storm came in, it was just a cloud of black that was coming over. Me and my husband were coming over the bridge, the Merrimack Bridge, and we just saw a cloud of black. And I was looking, I was like, okay, are the sprinklers on? They weren't. So who is regulating that? Like, who can we call in our city to say, yo, they need to turn the sprinklers on, because we already have asthma, we already have strokes, this is Stroke Alley. We have to do better.
Mm.
And to me, the solution is educating people with ways to be able to change what they're passionate about.
Yeah.
I'm passionate about the environment, I'm passionate about housing, I'm passionate about making sure people have the resources that they need to be their greater selves. And I've been able to do all of that work through the Choice Neighborhood Initiative. You know, and it's really, it's been a blessing, but definitely a learning experience. Yeah.
Tell me more about the coal dust.
Oh, so that's been here longer than go to my house now and it'll be black soot just on my house. And it's like, if it's there, then we know we're breathing it in. And it's always been there. My child never had breathing problems until we moved to New Purdue. And my son was in middle school when he had to start using a nebulizer. I was like, what's going on? Like, I don't understand. And that's a part of, because at that time I was just doing like community cleanups and stuff. But then that's when I really started paying attention to the water quality, the air quality. And I was like, yo, we have to do something. I did research, and when I ran for office, I saw a lot of different tools that were used or methods that were used in different countries. But why are we doing it here? So that really kind of motivated me politically, but trying to get things done politically is a headache. Just imagine if all of us, resident, but downtown resident, filled City Hall, and we're talking about one issue on this whole term. We have to make them move on something, because I'm sure when the new houses come and the $400,000 houses come and stuff, they're going to do something about that terminal then. So why not make sure the sprinklers are on now? Why not make sure we're doing everything we can to protect people from that? It's definitely an eyesore. I don't know where it came from, who owns it, whatever. They say he does a lot of stuff in the community, but I haven't seen it, you know. So what are we really doing?
Do you have, other friends and family who also have had to deal with respiratory stuff?
Oh, God, yes. The Southeast Care Coalition, they had stats and numbers on people that are affected by asthma. They actually had an asthma clown that was getting a lot of traction, because it's a clown, he's walking in our parades and stuff, and it's like, yo, what you doing? I'm talking about air quality, you know? And people are like, yo, what's this? The Southeast Care Coalition, they actually would take groups of young people and they would test the water and stuff, and that's how we found out that the sewage plant over there was leaking. And they really fought to make that to make it fit, to fix it. You know, they got the federal reports and everything. But stuff like that takes a lot of work, takes dedication. You have to know what you're looking at. So that's why when, you know, I came to seeing you, I was like, y'all are so important because you can be the catalyst of change in our have an older man. He lived on Ivy Avenue. He had to sell his house. Our tax assessments went up so high by the double digits for the past 4 years, he couldn't afford to live in a house that he worked all his life to pay for. So he moved to Jersey with his daughter. I'm like, that sucks. When he was such an awesome old man. Like, he fed the kids at the bus stop and stuff, and now he's gone because he couldn't afford to live here. So are we a city that is like, yeah, we want to bring in young people and stuff and have them working and everything, but are we taking care of our elders? Are we taking care of the people that's been in Newport News for all their life? Are we just running people out? That's things that I need us to look at. So when I had that argument, because when I complained to the people that could do something. So I went to Philip Jones, our mayor, and he actually listened to me. And I was really surprised in the work session when he suggested, he actually asked the city manager to go back and look at the real estate assessments and find a way that we can bring it down. And in the new budget, they did. They brought it down, I think it was like by 10%. Mm-hmm. Don't quote me, but I think so. But at least that's something. That's more than what we've had in a very long time. So a government that will listen to us. I'm excited about our new city council and what they're doing, but I am appreciative of our past council and the things that they have set up. Like, our city manager went after the CNI grant. She didn't have to do that, but she did. And that was a way for me to come in, you know, because at first I wasn't worried about all of this stuff. I was worried about working and taking care of my family. Yeah. Until, again, my son got on that nebulizer and it was like, okay, what's going on? What's going on?
Well, so how do you see, like, how do you see the new houses and, like, newcomers into the neighborhood, like, interacting with the coal dust problems?
I don't. I see them probably working with council to change what's happening, really showing up at city council meetings. The same momentum that areas like Hilton have with the advocacy, when there's something that's coming to their community, all of them show up. That's what we have to have downtown Newport News, because there's so many projects that are going on at one time. Like, even here in this one corner, 16th and Jefferson, we have the school that's going there. It's going to be a park in the middle, like the city's 38th park. We're going to have the apartments here. It's going to be like a community center underneath. On the other side is going to be houses. There's going to be another park down here. It's a lot of projects going on. Yeah. So just paying attention to what's going on can be difficult. One thing that we are doing that has blossomed out of the Choice Neighborhood Initiative is a Citizens Advisory Committee. Oh, cool. So with the Citizens Advisory Committee, it's actually written into the grant. Initially, the city and housing were supposed to come to us whenever any projects happen. That has been a, you know, kind of shaky road because certain things come to us and certain things don't. So building a Citizens Advisory Committee to a point that we are a self-standing civic league, not tied to the CNI grant, not tied to the city, but a civic league that is has political power that can be a force for the community. I don't see, we have Dr. Cherry with the Merchants Association, and I actually talked to her about joining forces with the CNI grant since we have the momentum and people are seeing things coming up and people are asking questions like, well, what kind of businesses can we get in here? We have to work with organizations like hers that are established that may be like an older population with the energy that we have with the CNI grant. Combine that and we're a force. No, in my mind, I think of Voltron. I'm an 80s kid, so I think of Voltron. I'm like, yo, that's what we do. Everybody coming together, and then we're going to protect our community. But it takes time to build things like that and to build relationships that people can trust each other to be able to move on something like that. So I'm excited about that partnership. She told me let her get through Juneteenth first, so I'm going to give her about a week. Then I'm coming at her, hey, let's get it done, because it takes that type of, like, you have to stay persistent with it. You have to call people, hey, how you doing? What's going on? You want to get engaged? Especially key people like Dr. Cherry, because she is a force in our community. Yeah.
On kind of a more personal level, what are some of the things that you've had to do to deal with the cold dust?
Oh, my goodness. Definitely advocate. I read more on cold dust than I would prefer to. But just power washing my house a lot, making sure that when the air quality, I started paying attention to air quality reports because I never did that before. It's like, why? But I had to start paying attention to that. And then also advocating for little things. So like there's a company that, you see this light post here?
Yeah.
They can actually put an air monitor on a light post and it will send, on a light post, and it will send the readings on a daily basis to a department in the city or whoever they choose. Why don't we have those? Especially right here across from the coal terminal. Those are the things that we have to fight for, because we have to be able to take care of ourselves. You know, that I know it's a lot of political and stuff that goes with that, but you can't do it at the risk of the health of your residents. So putting tools that will help us monitor so we can even know what's going on with the air quality. Why wasn't the sprinklers on that hot day and a black cloud was going over the community? Those type of accountability. So keeping our elected officials educated and accountable is something that I really had to focus on, talking to them and having conversations about this. John Ealy.
What have those conversations been like?
Well, they had the same. Like, I spoke with John Ealy, Councilman John Ealy, a few months ago, and his issues are the same. He lives right down here on Roanoke, and even Roanoke's like four streets up. He has coal dust on his house. So it's like, yo, how far is it really going? And I've even heard people in Hilton say that they have coal dust on their house. So that's half of Newport News that we're really affecting. So why aren't we bringing attention to it? I'm not saying I have the answers to fix it, but at least do something. You know, talk to the Sierra Club. Talk to the people who do this for a living, that know environmental work. We had a we did a cleanup, the Clean Up the Bay Day. We cleaned up King Pickett's Beach down here. We had actually had a surgeon, an extinct surgeon that washed up. So to me, in my mind, it's like, okay, we're even more valuable. So where is anybody? You had the Marines had to come get it. The Army Corps, Army Engineers.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can get the picture.
Whoa, I was just reading about sturgeons last night.
Really?
Yeah, they're like really majestic.
When I tell
you. They're like as big as a shark.
Exactly. It was so big. And I thought it was a shark, but I went poking at it, and its bone structure, it was like bones all the way down. It was so cool.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is downtown Newport News?
Yeah. It's an important place.
I think a lot of our issue here and why people aren't fighting like people in Hilton is because, I mean, it's all over the United States, right? People not knowing who they are, not being connected or grounded to anything, so they don't know what or who to fight. I have to show you this fish. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yep. They had to come. We couldn't even move it. They had to come and move.
That is
hey,
so cool.
Boo! Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that was right there.
Wow.
I'll send you that picture so you can
That's so cool. Yeah, definitely do. That's the coolest thing ever.
And I was like, oh my goodness, right here in Newport News?
Yeah. That's super cool.
But, I mean, we have so many old stories. Just like Hampton, I see how Hampton, they embrace their heritage. Like, they have those hard conversations about what Hampton was before. Whereas Newport News has that same history. It's the same waterfront. Like, the first slaves probably walked this land. Even the Army soldiers, was it World War I? They used to walk right through the Victory Arch that's across town.
Oh.
They would walk through that. And I think over in this area, or maybe, might be where the Coral Terminal is, but where they used to burn the World War I shoes. Because Mr. Ernest, he's the chair over the the African American Historical Society. And he talks about how they used to go over there and steal the boots. They had some boots from the soldiers before they destroyed them. Yeah. So we have so much history here. And I just feel like if we paid attention to that, really empower people with the history and the knowledge of what was here before, then how you doing?
Good.
Then we will be able to really change mindsets, because then people will be grounded and they will want to take care of their community. They will ask questions about, why is this cold here? Why are all these cars coming in our community and then they're gone? We don't even have a store that they can at least spend some money and build our economic base, something. They just ride right through.
Mm-hmm.
But it's poverty pimps.
Mm. Have you had conversations on like the state level with different representatives about the coal dust or other issues in their community?
I did when they talked to me.
Oh.
But once you start speaking out against certain stuff and you speak truth and facts, everybody don't like you that much. You know, so if they talk to me, I will.
Hmm.
I have. When I had
How
their
did it
ear.
Go?
Same old. Nothing's done. I'm to the point now with politics. I know I ran for office and stuff, but I'm just like, I really hope that will be a way to change what's happening and bring some attention. But politics, it's not healing what's happening. And I have to look at it like the system was never meant for us. So how can we expect to fix a system that was never meant for us? So how can we get the knowledge ourselves and then drive the politicians? Because ultimately what they're worried about is their votes. So how can either, if you stand on this issue and have a black presence, like a force that says, stand on this issue of why our children have asthma in our community, or we're gonna vote you out. That's what needs to be done. And I haven't seen a force like that happen here at all.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. Well, I guess that's from the construction. That's the dust.
Yeah, I see that.
For the poor people that live on 14th Street, they're just catching all of it. Not that, like, when we tore this down, it was so many rats and stuff. Oh my goodness. It was rats going all over the community. People on Last of the Court, they had to actually put boxes outside on the street to catch them, because it was so many rats and stuff. I'm like, I don't know, because I'm someone that's very spiritual and I'm, granted, it's just like, it feels like we're at a catalyst, but there's so much unearthing that needs to be done to just really get things right with Newport News.
Mm-hmm.
this is something that's not going to be, the coal terminal isn't going to leave us within the next 5-6 years. You know, it's not like they're going to pick up all the coal and we'll be good and we can use it as a park. It's going to be damaging for generations and generations. One thing I'm asking is, let's go ahead and do the work to start building momentum to change it. That just have a conversation.
If you could talk to the head of the coal terminal, mm-hmm. what would you say?
Why are you killing my children? Why are you creating so many, like, is your profit really worth this? Can you at least have a meeting with our community and talk about ways that we can heal? If you're helping the community, are you giving money to the asthma pumps and stuff? What are you doing? I want him to understand that his business, where he is making money, is endangering the health of people where they live in their homes. These are our houses that we're talking about. And coal dust invades our houses. So how would you feel if someone or something was invading your house? You don't want it there, but it's there. And you have to deal with it. And it adds to feelings of oppression, like, oh, I can't do anything. Because, you know, the truth is, we really can. But continue to have conversations like this and bring awareness. And then hopefully we'll get a curtain or something. Mm-hmm. I even read in Germany, I believe, they put a big steel curtain up to stop the coal from going to the neighboring community.
There are things like that. There's this thing called a wind fence.
Yeah.
That's similar. It's kind of like this big mesh thing.
Yeah.
It's like a very, very fine mesh. Uh-huh. And it catches a lot of, like, the bigger particles.
So why aren't they talking to you? Like, you can give them.
No, they actually looked into getting one in, like, 2011.
Okay.
And then they were like, oh, it's, we looked into it.
But nothing was done.
It's, like, too expensive. But this is actually between this and Kinder Morgan and Lambert's Point in Northrop, mm-hmm. it's like actually the biggest coal export operation in the U.S.
Wow.
Second biggest is Baltimore.
In the poorest community in Newport News, the most disenfranchised community. Does that make any sense? Like, they had to know what they're doing to the people that can't help themselves. They can't get themselves out of the situation.
You are? Y'all live down here? Mm-hmm. How long have y'all lived down here?
We just lived here.
Oh, really?
We're from Hampton.
Hampton?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're talking about the coal terminal. Y'all ever paid attention to it? No? Okay. All
right. My bus stop is like right there, but I never like looked over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I was telling. This is Adrian.
Hey, I'm recording right now for a story.
Yeah. Just trying to see if people actually know that it's over there. What can we do? Because it's affecting our air quality. All right, we have higher numbers of asthma and stuff in our community because of the dust that comes off of it.
Yeah, my mom, like, she also covers the bus stop too. She's just like, why is it foggy? I'm just like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. We've been living in Canada. Meanwhile, it's them. Okay, cool. Now that I know that, thank you.
everybody blamed it on Canada. I'm like, no.
I was like, if it's not orange, I don't think it's them.
Exactly, yeah.
And now it's just like, okay, that, thank you.
Yeah.
That's I'll let her
Between
know.
That and the traffic, we got to do better by our environment. Yeah. All right, well, y'all be easy. Take care. It's nice meeting y'all. If y'all not busy, come out to, you know where Anderson Park is on 16th Street?
No, we'll be coming.
Yeah, go. It's right before you get to the park or by the water. Mm-hmm. Come out there tomorrow. We're having a basketball tournament. We're going to have hot dog, all kinds of stuff. DJ, it's going to be fun. So y'all take care.
Yeah.
So, like you see, most people don't pay it any attention.
Yeah, totally. That's true for a lot of the folks I've spoken to. They're like, I never really thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of life.
Yeah.
What have your interactions been like with the DEQ study with Ms. Holmes?
Yeah, so I haven't really gotten a lot of information back from it of how I was doing, mm-hmm. but I trust Ms. Holmes because it's crazy, it's a small world. Ms. Holmes' dad was actually my science teacher on the Eastern Shore.
Get out.
Yeah, oh so I was like, "You're Mr. Holmes' daughter?" I loved him. I was like a total geek. I love science and history.
He
was one of my best teachers, and that's his daughter. She's here in Newport News. I'm like, yo, okay. So that's why I trust that she's doing the right thing. I really appreciate that they're having community meetings. Like, she's had a lot of community meetings and giving people the opportunity. People might not come, but at least you're doing the work of giving people the opportunity. She was very creative in her engagement. She had signs that were on the corner and saying, "Hey, study, this is me here," real easy to read. She took pointers. It wasn't her coming into our community being like the great savior, but it was like, how can I help you and empower you to be able to get the data that is needed to go to your elected officials and say, this is what's happening, I need change. Mm-hmm. So partners like that are so important, because I don't know how to go get the data. Like, the people that are affected, we don't know what we're looking at when we look at all these spreadsheets and stuff. But if we have people that can articulate that in a way that we can actually understand, and then go to council or the city manager and say, we need X many dollars put into a steel mesh curtain. You can't deny that. These are the people that that's their tax money. You know, They want this done with their tax money, make it happen. That's what I'm about. So,
yeah.
But even this traffic will stay like this. It's a Friday, so it will stay like this till about 4.
Holiday weekend.
5 o'clock, yeah. It's terrible. And it's every day. My daughter used to work at the shipyard, and I would have to pick her up, and it would literally, from the 50th Street Bridge to come home, which is usually like a 3-minute drive, it would take me 20 minutes to get home.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one thing that's interesting is this land here is where Harbor Homes and Dickerson Court was. I think Harbor Homes was over here, Dickerson Court was over there. And I'm not sure if it was HUD or whatever study came, it was like, okay, people can't live there anymore because of the coal tar dust.
Really?
Yeah.
They were demolished because of the coal dust?
Yeah. And people can't live here anymore. We had to go through that when we did the garden down here. So we had to go through this soil testing and everything to see it, because we knew that the land over here was supposedly contaminated because of the coal dust. So then with zoning, you pay attention to zoning, so they couldn't zone this for housing anymore. So now it's light industrial. And that's how S23 Holdings is coming. We did have Indeedwell that was coming over here, but now Virginia Peninsula Community College is building a maritime technical school right there behind the Moton.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Wait, so what is S23?
S23 Holdings is that company that I told you partners with the shipyard.
Okay.
And does the fabrication work.
Okay.
For the shipyard. So industrial work, and he promised that he's going to bring 300 jobs from the community. He's actually building a school, which is really impressive.
Oh.
So I'm not sure if the school's going to be on this grounds or off-site, but he's building a school to teach people about the fabrication business, welding. And we need more opportunities like that. Like, we have New Horizons that is overrun. Like, their waiting list is crazy long every year. They have ninth graders that's on the waiting list now.
Wow.
But they can only attend 11th and 12th grade. So we need more schools, like community colleges, that are paying attention to those trades, because that's where people can get the skills and get into the job workforce.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my children both ended up in a shipyard because they didn't want to go to college. But it was a point that they were making more money than me at one point, you know? So why not have, and if they want to learn a trade, it gave my son the time to really figure out what he wanted to do. He got a certificate in welding. But he wanted to go into nursing. So he did his time at the shipyard, but then he's in nursing school and he's in Richmond. You know, so he.
That's amazing. I can tell you're really proud of him.
I'm proud of all my children. I have a 14-year-old. She started her own business. She went to Achieve a Dream. And it was only because of the information that I was receiving at that time. I was just talking about it. So she started her own hair business at 14. And now she's 19, and she brings in more money than me and her daddy every year.
With her business?
Yeah, with her business. She's
That's
able
extraordinary.
To. And she has a mentee that she's mentoring to do the same thing, because we do have to teach people how. We're not gatekeepers. We got to teach people how to get there. And it's just, that's the generational bonds that I'm trying to break. Like, just people holding on to information, learning how to. And my oldest daughter and my baby girl, they still live with me. Because I said, before you leave this house, you are going to own a home. You're going to understand what it is to be a good citizen, understand what it means to pay taxes, understand what it means to advocate for something that isn't right in your community. That's things that they're not really taught in school. So I remember in school, you always have like those recycling clubs and stuff like that, but they don't ever go into detail about stuff like this, air quality. But just imagine if we plant that seed in our children early, they'll be the ones that's up there fussing us in general assemblies and everything. They have the energy to keep it up. It will happen. Changes will happen. We just have to stay on it. Because money speaks. And I'm sure it's going to be a lot of money for a mesh cloth and everything, but it's needed. Look at the price that we pay. I think it's needed.
Do you know anybody who works there?
Who?
At the...
I did, but not anymore. Not anymore. I don't know anybody.
Did they like quit or move?
Moved away. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would really love to speak with somebody who works there. Like a, okay. You know, regular day.
I could try to find somebody. I'll ask some questions.
If you know anybody, you know, and who's willing to speak with me, I would love to hear more. I just haven't been able to find anyone, which is a little weird because I've spoken with, I don't know, a fair amount of folks.
And they say that he hires people from the community, but I don't.
I just wonder how many people actually work there. Like, how many jobs it actually is.
I have no idea. Well, I guess the sprinkler person isn't there.
Oh, my God.
But look at how close. I didn't realize, like, how close it actually is.
We're looking at a pile of coal that's, like 500 feet away.
Yeah. And then if, just imagine a train come and that's kicking up dust and all that stuff.
Yeah.
We're just breathing in all kinds of particles on top of the sewer and everything. You think they won't want to do something because City Hall is right there. Like, come on.
Oh, is that City Hall right there?
Uh-huh. Is that City Hall? That might be the building that Bobby Scott is in. But I know they got a good view of this from City Hall. Some places in City Hall, you can see all the way to Hampton. So just imagine if you could see that far, I'm sure a air particle is just floating in the wind and going all the way to Hampton, you know?
Yeah, totally. I think I spoke with one lady who lives in Hampton, right on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Who's
like
with the
community?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. Because with is right up this way. Oh, my Lord. Yeah.
That's
See, we gotta deal with stuff like this all the time. That is just people impatient. He's probably a resident here. He's like, oh, this traffic and fussing.
Sick
I see.
Totally. The road rage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But even look, you know they don't live in our community. But they're riding through all their gas emissions. It's polluting our air.
Yeah. Dang.
It'd be nice if the people really like, understand investing in this community. People live here.
Yeah. Well, did you want to walk around anymore?
Yeah. Walk around. But yeah. These buildings right here, I know the city was actually offering to buy them for like in the millions.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for
that
real.
Little one level concrete windowless.
And the one over there that's
I
not
guess
updated.
That's a church.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's an outreach place.
Okay.
So with this, I believe we have a 100-foot buffer that is going to be for retail.
Uh-huh.
So my hope would be that the people that are polluting our community maybe will at least stop and spend money with the stores that are here as they're driving.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least give them a way to like,
hey,
you know.
It's people that live here. Stop and see what the community is about.
Yeah.
We have our flagpoles that they never put flags in. I feel like all this goes to like the engagement, like the pride that people have in their community.
Yeah.
We can
should we cross?
Yeah, we'll cross.
Or this way?
Oh, we can. Yeah, so right here was actually a, that's where I was. It was a community center.
Okay.
And that's where I would have all the classes, the, let me go ahead now. That's where I would have all the, like financial literacy and budgeting classes and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that got turned down.
Of course. Yeah. For the project.
Oh.
But when we're talking about like the people piece, mm-hmm. we operated out of that building.
Yeah.
It was important to have something on site that people can access because they didn't have cars. But even with that, it could have worked so much better if we had the right people in place. So with the Choice Neighborhood Initiative, we started off with one people lead. They weren't doing what they were supposed to, so the city had to drop them and hire somebody else. And mm-hmm. so who, the only people that is affected is the people that's supposed to get the services.
Yeah.
And the timeline on the CNI grant never stopped. That's 5 years.
Hmm. Is there, do you have somewhere you're headed after this? Or?
Just home.
Just home?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, I would love to like walk you part of the way there.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Or at least, you know.
I want to see if I can find some people that you can talk to.
Yeah, I mean, that would be great.
Man, I'll see if Mr. Smiley is out here. Yeah, it used to be houses all through here. It was a project all through here.
Yeah, so when did those get taken down?
Oh, goodness. It's been about a good 15 years now.
Well.
And, like, the House of Prayer. It's a nice church, but they don't do anything. One day, where we had the community garden, the pastor there, Pastor Tremaine Johnson,
mm-hmm.
he has what's called the Coalition of Concerned Clergy. And what we're trying to do with them is like build momentum to be able to be this voice that we need, that the, you know, mayor or something can come through and say, let me see if he's in here.
Sure.